Hello and welcome to our program. We begin today with a new series on the subject of prayer as we conclude one of the craziest years I've ever lived in 2020. And as we begin a new year in 2021, I've been thinking about what's the most important thing we can do. And I don't know that there's anything more important than praying. It says in 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now we're going to look to begin with. We're going to have a series here, last for a while, but to start, we're going to look in Luke chapter 11. We'll just read it here first of all for the context. It says, "And it came to pass that as he," that is Jesus, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." It's interesting, the thing they remembered about John was that he taught them to pray. "And he said unto them, when ye pray," he didn't say if, "when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Then he started and he gave them an illustration concerning the question they had asked about being taught how to pray. And here's the illustration, verse 5. "He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," the word means persistence, "he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that asked him?" Now, we read here, first of all, in verse number 1, it came to pass that as he was praying, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, it says here, he was praying. The best example we're going to find in the Word of God concerning how to pray and when to pray is the Lord. He prayed when he was alone. He prayed when he was in public. He prayed before meals. He prayed before important decisions. He prayed before healing someone. He prayed after healing someone. He prayed to do his Father's will. He prayed the longest prayer that's recorded in the Word of God in John chapter 17. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed in the morning before heading to Galilee for his ministry there. He prayed. He prayed all night before choosing his 12 disciples. He prayed. There are over 20 other references in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John concerning Jesus and his prayer life. Now, it says here, teach us to pray. In Judges 13 and 8, we read, "Teach us what we shall do." Job 37, 19, "Teach us what we shall say." Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Isaiah 2 and 3, "Teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths." Again, in Micah 4, verse 2, "Teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths." Luke 11 and 1, we're looking at here, "Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And then you remember where the Pharisees were rebuking that man that had been healed by Jesus. They said, "Dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Now, they weren't teachable. The thing is, if we are going to have the Lord teach us to pray, and he's the only one that really can do it, we need to be sure that we are teachable. In verse 2, he said, "When," again, not if, "when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." Now, the thing is here is that when we pray, our focus needs to be on glorifying God. Not, you know, I'm afraid that so many times when we think about prayer, it's just a way we're going to get what we think we need. A lot of times we get into trouble, and then we pray to God to get us out of trouble. And the thing is, we didn't pray about whether we should have been doing that particular thing in the first place or not. Prayer is, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So our focus needs to be on God's will, not on our will. Now, we know God answers prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He said, "I will answer thee. Call, I will answer thee." Well, the question is then, why are so few prayers being answered? Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now, notice here, he talks about us and he talks about them. Now, let's get the context of what he says here. And let me read it again. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now, we need to go back here to Hebrews chapter 3 and get the context. He said, "While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts," as in the provocation. He's talking to Christians here. "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but unto them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Now, it's not talking about going to heaven here. It's talking about entering in to the promised land, going into crossing the Jordan, and it represents death to self, and it represents a Christian having that rest that it's talking about, that peace that passes understanding, on the other side of the Jordan. It's talking about the victorious Christian life on earth. It's not talking about heaven. The first thing they did when they got across the Jordan was fight the battle of Jericho. There's no battles in heaven. It's having that rest that the Bible talks about down through this whole chapter in Hebrews. Now, he says, so we see they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. Now, in our verse here in chapter 4, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And so the whole challenge here is, hey, don't do what they did in the wilderness. You're going to live in the wilderness and die in the wilderness, or you can cross that Jordan and get that peace that passes understanding in the middle of all the battles. But in order to do that, you got to mix your faith. Mix with faith. Now, the word faith occurs in the New Testament 245 times. There's two different Greek words that are used. One of them means to trust, and it only is recorded five times. When they were on the water and the boat was going down, it says, "Oh, ye of little faith." That word meant trust. But 240 times, it's talking about what we believe. What we believe. Keep the faith. Now, it says again that they didn't profit what was preached because they did not mix their faith. It was not mixed with faith. Now, again, the word faith here is what we believe. What do you really believe? You get on an airplane, you're going to fly, you went up there pretty high in the sky, and you're going to be there for a while. You really believe that that pilot knows what he's doing? If you didn't believe it, you wouldn't have got on the plane. So you believe it. I'm going to get on there, and then you walk down that aisle, and there's a seat there. You believe that seat will hold you, or will it fall apart? If you believe it'll hold you could stand there and you could have 27 sermons preached at you about why you should believe in that seat. But if you don't sit in it, you don't believe. It's an action word, mixing your faith. And so what we say we believe, what we need to do is mix that. We read that Noah mixed his faith. What did he do? Noah worked. Abraham went to a place where he knew not where he was going. Yet the Lord said, go. He just went. Enoch walked with God. James says, faith without works is dead. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so we have to do some work here. Not talking about saving faith. It's talking about the faith of a Christian and actually getting to work to do what we say we believe. And so if we're going to learn how to pray, we need to first of all realize that we have to mix our faith. That is, there needs to be some work. Faith without works is dead. Now, also, we need to be asking in Jesus' name. I think that we stick that on the end of our prayer, hardly knowing what it means. In Jesus' name, amen. What's that really mean? If you're going to go in Jesus' name, you're going to go to God and say, this is something that Jesus wants. For instance, if you were going to shovel your sidewalk in front of your house, but somehow your shovel got mislaid, and you send your 9-year-old boy over to the neighbor to borrow his shovel. And the boy knocks on the door, and the man comes, and the little boy says, can I have a shovel? It is very, very unlikely he's going to get the shovel. But if he says, my dad has sent me for the shovel, he's probably going to get it. Now, if we're going to ask in Jesus' name, we're going to go to God, and we're going to say, I'm praying about something that Jesus wants. So once again, we come back to the focus has to be on whatsoever glorifies the Lord, not whatsoever makes me feel more comfortable on earth. It might be that answer that make you feel comfortable, and it might be an answer to make you feel less comfortable. What we need to do is be sure when we're asking for something that we can ask in Jesus' name. Then there has to be a starting place. First of all, we need to confess the sin of prayerlessness. We don't pray a lot. We shoot a little telegram off to God before we preach a sermon, or we shoot another little telegram off to God before we eat our lunch and so on. And then we shoot a little telegram off to God and call it devotions in the morning, and then get off in the car and go to work. That's just little telegrams. What we need to do is learn, and we'll look at this. What it means to do is pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And that doesn't mean to say you just get on your knees and never go to work. We'll look at that in another broadcast. Prayer, confess the prayer, the sin of prayerlessness. And then we need to confess all known sin. If you ask the Lord to reveal, what sin we need to confess. I remember a situation when we were traveling in a motorhome, and well, we had 3 months of absolute terror. It would take me a half an hour to tell you everything that went wrong for about 3 months. And I had a big truck. We were pulling a 40-foot fifth wheel, and the fifth wheel was parked somewhere, but we had to go to the bank, and I took my wife, and we went to the bank. I parked that big truck. It was a dual cab, and it had dual wheels on the back. It's a big truck. You couldn't just pull into a regular parking spot. And so I let her out, and then I pulled in between the aisles, just leaving the motor running, waiting for her to come out. And this policeman comes over, and he starts reaming me out. You can't park here. I said, I'm not parked. I am not parked. My motor's running. I'm just waiting here for my wife. He says, you can't do that here. I said, why not? Where's the sign that says I can't do that? He says, right over there. It says, no parking. I said, well, first of all, I'm not parked, and I'm not over there. He said, well, I'm just trying to do my job. I said, well, go and do it over there where the no parking sign is. And he just shook his head and walked away. Well, the next day I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, is there anything yesterday that I didn't honor you? And boy, that came back really fast. I mean, that policeman needed to know how to get to heaven, not to have me reaming him out because he was messing me up. I went back looking for him. He wasn't there the next day. I wanted to apologize to him. But, you know, if we ask the Lord, reveal the sin, what sin? What is it that I done yesterday that didn't honor you? Or what is it that I didn't do that I should have done? Whatever. If we're honest, the Lord will let us know what it is. Confess the sin of prayerlessness. Confess all known sin. And then we need to know the place of prayer in God's plans. As we look in the book of Acts, we like to look at the fact that they're in revival situation. Well, it was a result of prayer. And then in Acts 4, the revival was threatened. What'd they do? They prayed. And then in Acts 6, the unity was destroyed. They prayed again. Acts 8, a tremendous revival in Samaria. Check it out. It was the foundation of that was prayer. And then remember when Peter was in prison, they gathered together and they prayed. The doors were open. And then Acts 13, God's power again. Once again, everything, the foundation for what we would like God to do is honest, sincere prayer. Well, we read again in Luke chapter 11, and we'll get into this illustration in our next program. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. We're going to look at it in our next program. Be sure and be with us as we continue. The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer.